Dogs back on the Boston Man Show for our monthly visit with Vincent Dixie, Tennessee rep from District 54, Housing Trend Caucus leader. Man, Vincent, my guy, how you feeling, man? What's good with you?
I'm doing all right, man. Today the sun is shining. It's a nice day. A little hot out there, and you know it's Tennessee time, so now the humidity comes with it too. Other than that, I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. You know, just got finished with session, so kind of switching hats to, you know, chairman mode now. So we kind of go in there and see what we're gonna do. Recruit people, try to fundraise, get some money in there so we can train them and give them the support that they need. So that's my focus for this summer.
Let me ask you first question. Since you took one of our Atlanta players, Julio Jones, how happy are you as a Titans fan you got Julio Jones in Tennessee now?
I'm ecstatic, man. I'm a season ticket holder. So now I'm willing, ready to pay my money now. But before I was a little begrudgingly paying it. I was like, man, I don't pay it, but now I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think Julio is going to be, he's brought us some excitement and buzz already to the city. So hopefully that offensive explosion will carry over to the defense and we'll elevate the defense and we can have more of a complete team.
No doubt.
Sorry, like, though.
Yeah. Sorry. Hey, Vince, but you know, it hurts the Falcons fans down here, man, because the Ghosts didn't go to Tennessee, but hey. Since I kind of got both sides. I got Nashville and Atlanta on me, so I'm good either way. I can't lose.
Hey, sorry, not sorry.
Yes. I hear that, man. So let me ask you this, man. Since you said you're getting ready to get fundraising going for you guys to get ready for this 2022 season. So, Vincent, tell me about this. Who are going to be your ideal people you target? So you want to have a run this time around to get people on the same messaging and the same path to hopefully make a dent in the supermajority that the GOP has?
So it's interesting because now we have redistricting, and that's coming up, and that's going to be huge. So we know that they're going to gerrymander some districts that kind of keep us – to try to keep them, make them more red or more blue. So – what they will probably try to do is what they truly want to do here is try to make all the Democratic seats in Tennessee held by Black people, right? So they want to make it appear that the Democratic Party is only Black people. So what we do with the redistricting, and once we got the preliminary numbers back, we know that the majority of the people are moving toward Middle Tennessee. Let me see if I can, yeah, Middle Tennessee. So what happens on an outlier is on East Tennessee and West Tennessee, they'll probably lose a seat. And so, but that means that we'll gain some seats in Middle Tennessee, maybe in Murfreesboro, or, you know, in Rutherford County area, Smyrna, all that way. So we got to make sure that we're prepared to, I guess I don't want to give away all my secrets, but what we should do is to make sure that we know that we have a Democratic stronghold in most metropolitan areas. Oh, yes. And just to work because it's expanding. The metropolitan expanding, like Nashville is expanding to Rutherford County. It's expanding to Robertson County. You know, it's expanding to Cheatham County, Dixon County. So with that, you're still going to have more progressive people moving out. So our opportunity lies in there to make sure that we start to pick up on those suburban areas.
Most definitely, because, you know, like you said, Vincent, I feel like this, Vincent, you tell me if I'm wrong or not, but with Clarksville, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Jackson, Memphis, Knoxville, Chattanooga, there's opportunity there to attack those cities. Because I know, like here in Georgia, how we attack Columbus, Augusta, Atlanta, Savannah, and use those areas around there as a way to make up what you're going to lose in those rural counties pretty much, who are still not looking at things the right way, per se.
Yeah, and I know you're hit the nail on the head. But I think here in Tennessee, what we do is we have a real opportunity because Governor Bill Lee is, they're making a lot of mistakes. Him and the Republican Party, they're making a lot of mistakes. Him, Cameron Sexton, they're power drunk and they're doing things that they feel like that's really appealing to their base. And it's not really appealing to their base. So what they're doing now, a lot of stuff that people have to start to wake up, right? Is it an ideal that you're ready to die on the sword for, or you want to make sure that you have food on your table, that you have money in your pocket to pay your bills, and if you can go see a doctor? That's all I'm about. I don't worry about transgender bills, right? We have more transgender bills in Tennessee than we do transgenders.
Right? Exactly.
So, and then the Republicans do a great job of creating a solution for a problem we don't have, like with the CRT. That's a non-issue. really, it's truly a non-issue.
Yes.
Because we don't teach it in K through 12. But because they've made this buzz on it, but they what they're doing is they're smoking mirrors and taking people. While they're doing that, they're taking away unemployment benefits.
Yes.
They're reducing the amount of time that you can be on this benefit. Saying, oh, we have all these jobs. When you actually dig and peel back the layers, you realize that we don't have a lot of jobs that are really meaningful that people can really exactly. take care of a family, right? It's less, I just saw a study. It said less than 3% of the jobs are over $20,000.
Yes,
3% of the 250. 3%. And so the federal poverty is $22,000 for a family of four. So how could you possibly afford to do that? So we got to make sure that people understand that. And now we're going to have this right to work issue that's going to be on the ballot in 2022. So we got to make sure that people understand that what right to work means, because it's a misnomer. This is something that this is how long it's been going on. Martin Luther King fought about the right to work. And right to work does not mean you have the right to work, right? It's a misnomer. You know, right to work is basically a system. It helps to create a system where people have benefits, and basically it helps unions, right? Mm-hmm. It helps people unionize, and people, there's a plethora of reason of things that we have right now of why unions are important. The reason why you have a 5-day work week is because of unions. The reason you have a 40-hour work week is because of unions. The reason you have benefits is because of unions. You know, a lot of standards that you have is because of unions. And unions were the fastest way to build the middle class here in America. But right now, in these unions right now, you have a lot of people voting for these Republicans that are willing, going to take, actually, literally going to take food off your table and money out of your pocket. So that they're going to have to realize, what do we want to do here? You know, what do you really want? What's important to you? Taking care of your family, making sure they're safe, or you're going to fight some kind of culture war.
Exactly. And like CRT is the new boogeyman for 2022 and 2024. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. 2022 and 2024, because the policies have no teeth. So what are we going to do? Create a culture war boogeyman, CRT. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's always, every time they lose, they come mm-hmm. up with a new boogeyman to gin up the white base to turn them and keep them voting Republican against what's good for them, per se.
Right. Right. And people just have to truly wake up, and, you know, and they have to educate themselves, and we have to do a better job of educating them too. But we got to get people out to vote that understand the issues. And you know, it's like, my job is to teach you, you teach somebody else, or vice versa. You know, like, each one teach one. We all heard that from KRS-One, right? You know, each, you know, yes. So we all have to do that. And we have to make sure that people understand, because the way that the stronghold that the Republicans have in Tennessee, it's not good for anybody, man. They're just creating policies that are hurting people. And we have to stop this. We really need to stop. And I need everybody's help, you know, and this, all the grassroots organizations all the way up to the U.S. Senate and everywhere in between. We have to work together to make a change.
Yeah, Vincent, so let me ask you, so for my listeners here, what can we do for us, the grassroots, getting involved, going door to door already now? I feel like we had a organize, mobilize now, because get people knowing now, because when you come election year, people get out, they get leery. So you got to start now, educate them on the issues. They can, when it's time for it, they know. I've been talking about these issues, whether it be the healthcare issue, the unemployment, the trans bills, all these bad bills that hurt in the sins. So is it something that you all going to do with Democratic Party caucus and like grassroots to say, hey, let's get on the ground now, start door knocking now to get people energized for 2022?
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we're actually working on right now. It's like a digital strategy and things, the way to get this information out digitally. But first, before we even do that, we had to make sure that the Tennessee Democratic Party is on the same page as with the caucuses, and to make sure that we're all singing from the same page, right? Is to have these strategic meetings to make sure that we're not saying something that's in competition to each other, or that we're just focusing on the same things, because there's so many things that they've done that we have to make sure that we get back into that. So the one thing that we have to focus on and really work on is just being strategic about the partners and making sure our message is tight and succinct, and that we're not all over the place. We only need to work on two or three things, and that's all we need to do. You know, Republicans have done a good job of keeping them. They get people, they seem to keep everyone in lockstep with each other. Yes. We have to realize that we anti-LGBT bills are important to us, just like voter registration rights. All right. We have so many issues that we need to worry about. All of this is together, and one is more important than the other, but in together, if we all work together, it's important, and we can make this world a better place, especially Tennessee a better place. And we have to realize when we were talking about the right to work, and if people would realize, if they just go back and watch some of the things that we did on this floor, when they reduced the amount of unemployment from 26 weeks to 12 weeks, which is less than half, you know what their main issue was, who they were worried about? Was businesses. They said, businesses, I've heard from a lot of business owners that they can't find people to work. Well, do you know why you can't find people to work? You don't pay them enough.
Exactly.
You know, if somebody has to work 2 or 3 jobs just to make ends meet, then you want to get upset with them because they're not spending enough time with their kids. They can't help their kids with the homework. See, it's an institutional thing there, and it rolls downhill. You've heard the thing where shit rolls downhill. If you're working 2 or 3 jobs, you don't have time to sit at home and do the homework with your kids to make sure they're excelling in school, right? So if you can give somebody a meaningful career where they can go to work, come home, spend time with their children, be involved at school with them, and I bet you you'll see a better outcomes in school.
Most definitely. And you know, Tennesseans, like you said, Vincent, with this trans bill, I read where trans families are leaving Tennessee now, where trans kids leaving Tennessee, they leave as sales tax income lost, that's taxable income and counties lost because people are leaving because of these bad laws. Or like the milk and marijuana bill where that lady smoking session is going to probably leave the state to get what they need for her son to survive. So mm-hmm. The laws that the Republicans are passing Tennessee are cruel and hurting Tennesseans and the state's money itself, even though it's a rainy day fund that they don't want to use on for good. So it's like, some of these that Bill Lee and his Republican Party are doing, Vincent, it's like, it's right there for people to see. Like, this is evil, cruel, and hurting Tennesseans every day.
You said a mouthful, but you know, like a lot of times, you know, we've probably heard this term, you know, you can't mess up the church's money, right? Tennessee don't mind messing up the church's money. Like even in North Carolina, when they were doing some anti-LGBTQ hurtful laws, and when they started messing with, you know, they took away some of the all-star games, things that they said, oh, okay, my bad. We need to reevaluate what we're doing here. Tennessee doubles down on it. Like, oh, you want to take something from us? Let me show you what we really can do. Let me show you how hateful we really can be. Because they don't mind messing up their money. They will throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know?
Exactly.
And you know, at some point, people have to wake up. The reason why you don't have jobs here, because no companies are going to be willing to come here, right? And then when they try to recruit a company here and you give them everything like they do at Amazon or Oracle to get them here, that's great. But then they don't have a tech space for them. So if they don't have a tech space for them, then you don't have the services that you need, like the garbage, the schools, the police, the firemen, you know, the hospitals. So, you know, it's everything is connected. It's not connected, but everything is connected. And people have to realize they got to be smarter than that. And if you keep running people out of town and they don't want to move to Tennessee, that's why Tennessee is thriving. That's why, really, you know why Tennessee is thriving? Because Nashville is thriving.
Yes.
Nashville is the cat. Nashville pays the mortgage. We keep the lights on and we pay everything. And then all these other counties, they pay the cell phone bill, right? But we are the bread and butter of this state. But yet they always want to try to punish Davidson County or try to say, to show that they're still, these rural counties are in control, but they like our tax money, you know? But you don't like our policies that we try to do to push out because they're better for everyone, not just a small segment or a special interest group.
Exactly, Vince. It's not like Fulton County in here. So that's like the same issues. Fulton County pays the bills for Georgia, but they want to attack Fulton County at every step. Yeah, that you go. So it sounds very familiar. What's going on in Tennessee and what's going on in Georgia, Vince. And also, look at this. The unemployment zone cutting those benefits from the federal government because Tennessee funding $86 million, almost $500 million of money to help go to Tennessee's economy that Bill Lee and his Republicans take away. So once again, taking away the church's money again, Vincent, hurting the state of Tennessee once more by being evil for political points with the base.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. You know, and the people that who's going to hurt the most, the people in these distressed counties that he says he cares so much about, these rural counties, because they don't have jobs. The highest unemployment rate there is 8% in Maury County. I think it's 7.7 in Unicoi County. These small counties, well, don't quote me on these numbers, but let's say they have 1,000 people out of work in those counties. There's only like 4 jobs there that are qualified, that people can qualify for. What are the rest of the people going to do, right? They can't just pick up, even if they pick up and move to Nashville, they can't survive off an $11 delivery driver job, right? Something that don't qualify. A lot of those jobs that are on there, you have to have specialized training for. You know, they're nurses. Some of those things, you don't get to have CDLs. It's going to take time to train these people up. So what we don't have an issue of people not wanting to work. We have a workforce development problem. That's what needs to be addressed. And Bill Lee has woefully, just overlooked it, that thing. But as you go back, it's about the political points. For instance, right now with the immigrant children that are coming through here, he's talking about we need to secure our borders. What borders do you need to secure in Tennessee?
Exactly.
You know, I'm saying we have more pressing problems here in Tennessee than worried about securing the borders in Texas, New Mexico, in those areas, right? So we need to make sure that we need a governor that's going to focus on Tennessee and not worry about his ambitions or his ultimate goal to move to a higher office or do something different. So that's why people are willing to take note of what's going on here, because it's going to get bad if you just continue to just vote because you believe in the rhetoric. I need you to peel back the layers and say, how does this truly impact my life?
Exactly. That's what I've always tried to tell my friends in the Democratic Party and just people who in general talk to people. Like list the issues. Hey, this matter to you? But this guy does not care about this. This matter to you? He don't care about this. Just run it down like point by point, like a checkbox almost. That's how we did it in Georgia. Was out here campaigning for Warnock and Ossoff. Like, they taught us to just take the issues, check. Loeffler, Ossoff. Loeffler, Warnock. Purdue, won. We just kind of did that so they could know that really where these people stood at on these issues. Now, some of them still might still go the other way, but at least you told them.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, like, even we always talk about, we hear about a lot about Medicaid expansion, right? And a lot of people, that doesn't really resonate with a lot of people, because people are like, well, I have insurance, and, you know, that's, you know, if people don't have it, that's because they don't work or they're not lazy. It's for poor people or old people. But, you know, so what? The reason why expanding Medicaid is so important is not just about the healthcare that it's going to provide to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, but also it was a study done. There's going to be over 45,000 jobs that come along with that. See, it's an economic driver. And that's what people are missing. You know, that's 45,000 jobs that we don't have right now in Tennessee that we could have them. We can get some of these rural hospitals back open. And when you get these hospitals back open, what it does is it creates an economic base for that town, that city, that county, because now you can get some more money to go into your schools, because that they have to pay property taxes. You got more people working in there that's probably living in that area that's coming back to work because they need these jobs. We're just not thinking about what we can do, but we're still worried about fighting about, can a transgender go into whichever bathroom? Well, you know, and that's really a non-issue, because if think about it, if transgenders were all pedophiles, then we could stop that right then, right? We would know. But all pedophiles aren't transgenders. They think that transgender people are like sexual deviants. They're just people too that want to live a normal life just like anybody else. They're just battling inside themselves for who they are. So you got to let them go through those moments, those movements to develop who they are. But we also got to remember that we have to fight for a lot of other things. You know, besides anti-abortion, we got to make sure that felons get a right to vote back here. You know, Tennessee is one of 11 states that take away voting rights because you get a felon. One of 11. The only one that will take away your voting rights if you owe back child support. Only one in the nation. So those are the issues. Just think if we can get the felons to vote again, right? And think about this. I have two large prisons in my district. Their numbers count in my census, right? So I'm their representative. But they can't vote for me. Wow. But their numbers count in my census. So my thing is, give them the right to vote. when people have the right to vote and they exercise that, they become more politically aware. They feel like they're more involved in society, right? And if you get them, the felons, the right to vote. So this governor has done nothing to really move forward the criminal justice system. It's just a smoking mirrors. He's done nothing that's going to really truly be impactful to help people. If you wanted to, you could move the expungement laws down to 1, 3, and 5 years for where it's a misdemeanor, CDABCDEF felony. I think they don't go to E, not F. So my point is saying that we have a chance here to really impact people's lives. And if people can get a chance to vote, they can get back to work. Guess what? They become meaningful citizens. They lead a productive life. They can provide for their family. They add to the economy.
Yes.
Right. And then I also want to say their economy is what they're most worried about. But you can't be most worried about the economy when you're worried about CRT, who's using which bathroom, you know, and things of that nature.
Exactly. It's all that smoke and mirrors, and kind of what you bring up, good point, Vincent. Like, that's why they need to pass HR 1, HR 4 on the federal level, because that could stop a lot of this stuff that Billy doing and help restore some rights for felons, hopefully, get people out to vote, because the numbers matter. You know, it's crazy that Ms. Bradshaw didn't have that much money, but she got over a million votes and still lost to Hagerty. But still, she had some more money to fundraise with more people to pull from. She could have had a better chance to win that election against Hagerty. So yeah. HR 1, HR 4 is so important. That's why the filibuster needs to be ended, in my opinion, to get this to get this done to help. Because all these voting rights laws here in Georgia, Tennessee's probably coming down the pike, other places. It's not going to be bad for people like us to vote.
Man, we got it. You know, it's these real life issues that we got to attack. You know, like medical marijuana and even recreational marijuana. Man, it's past time to go ahead and legalize that and just regulate and tax it. You know how much money Tennessee is losing out because they're not taxing this or not regulating it? Because Tennessee has the perfect soil. I don't know if you know much about hemp or, you know, the marijuana products. But you know, it's like the catfish of all of crops, right? It can grow in any particular environment, and we have the land to do it. You know, we have our farmers; they could make the easy transition right over to it to make sure that they're profitable. So that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that can resonate with the rural community can you hear this information coming from a Black man? That's the issue. You know, I really want you to survive, because the better you do, the better Tennessee does, right? So if I can make sure that our farmers are taken care of, and they have a cash crop that they can take care of their family, and they make sure that they have the schools that they need, they have the resources that they need in their community, they got the hospitals that they need, they got the food on their table, the money in their pockets, how that only helps Tennessee become a better economic place. And right now, people want to come to Tennessee. And I want them to come to Tennessee, but I want us to grow strategically and purposefully, not just haphazardly. But can the million-dollar question is, can people in these rural areas that is not used to listening or letting a person of color lead, can you accept this information coming from them?
That is the million-dollar question. Vincent, I'll tell you a quick story. I was in these rural counties in Georgia. I was kind of scared, Vincent. I ain't going to lie to you. On some of these doors, I didn't know what I was going to see or hear, but I was surprised only a few people had bad attitudes about it. Most of them listened to me and didn't act crazy, but you're right. There's always that fear to go into rural areas, try to talk to these people about these issues. What's response, reaction going to be to you giving me this information?
No, and it's, you know, honestly, people always laugh at me because as a politician, my favorite part of being in this job is knocking on doors, because you're actually talking to people that can vote for you, right? Or the people that have some sort of interest. Because like a lot of times you got to go to these events where you just got to go because you got to show your face, or, you know, it's part of, you know, these people need to know who you are. But when you can really knock on the door, have these one-on-one conversations, that's what really I truly enjoy the most. And you get to, so maybe you learn something you didn't know. And maybe you can teach them something that they didn't know. And, you know, but when you walk away, you're going to have an understanding, even if you're going to have you can agree to disagree, or you're going to agree together. You might change some minds. And that's all it is. We just want to put something on your mind and your heart to think about. That's all.
And I can attest, you are out in the community. I've seen you out in the community. I can attest to that, because I've seen you out in the community when I'm in town. So he's not telling you that he's out with the people, for real. He ain't shooting no breeze. He's telling you the God's truth. I've seen some events in the community with people. I've seen him myself.
Well, the thing is, you know, I people always laugh at me because sometimes, like, when I do a letter or do something, I put my cell phone number on there. You know, my cell phone number is the worst kept secret in Tennessee, right, Middle Tennessee. So I put my cell number on there. And so sometimes people will call me and I answer my phone. They'll be like, well, I would like to tell Mr. Dixie he needs to do this or do that. Or I just want to tell him thank you or this. And I was like, well, this is me. And they'll be like, you answer your own phone? I was like, yes, you know, that's what I do. And you know what? The one of the most things that make me the most happy is when I go to Kroger's or I'm at Exxon and somebody stops and talks to me. And it's like, I think that you should, you know, let's talk about this is what's worrying me or this is that or whatever, because they feel like they can come up to me and we can have that one-on-one conversation. Not like you, I'd be like, well, call my office and then we'll deal with that. You know, people feel like they can come up to me. And so, man, I help so many people. I'm still to this day trying to get the unemployment benefits that they have never received since this started. You know, how do you expect people to maintain? And, you know, and I feel for anybody that's in that position. I've been blessed that I haven't missed a meal. You know, my stomach shows that I haven't missed too many meals, but showing that, you know, that we care about them, that we can, I can try to do, I'm gonna do everything in my power to help you.
Yeah, Vincent's helping a friend of mine off the record. So I know this man's work, people. So Vincent Dixie is here for people to see. He's not for himself. He's not trying to position himself for another role here. He's about the people of Tennessee. That's what it's all about, ultimately.
Yeah. And, you know, and it like I say, it takes it's a family type deal too, that we all have to come up with. So, you know, my wife allows me to do this and we all have to make a sacrifice because I have to do something. There's some things that I would like to do with my family sometimes, but I have to do for the community, or I incorporate them to come with me so that they can understand, I can instill in my daughters, you know, that we have to give back. You know, that's what it is. We've been pretty blessed. You know, we're not the richest family. We're not the poorest either. But, you know, we're okay. And we have to make sure that you can always help somebody. And that's what my mom always told me. Hey, if you got two pennies, you can always give somebody one. And then, you know what? It'll come back to you in the end. But do it out of your heart. Don't do it expecting to get something.
No doubt.
And I don't expect anything.
And that's right. That's what it's all about, man. Because, you know, like you said, you know, I know my mother was in it when George Darden was running for office. My mom was George Darden and all those people. So I remember had those rulers and George Darden with this. And, you know, I remember all those things. Jimmy Carter sent my mother letters when she was in the Democratic Party when she was growing up. So this is life that you live, Vincent. I've seen it from my mother's perspective as well. So, like, when you're really doing it for the people, it's really humbling and respected, because some people is just for the clout, say I'm this and I'm that, but that's not who you are. That's why when people can see who you are on this show, you can be open and honest, have a platform and say what you got to say without being judged or being put in a bad spot to have to, you know, try to catch you in something, because I'm about the people. I ain't trying to hurt you, trying to help the people to see. That's what I'm about. I'm telling you in the heart myself.
Yeah, well, we have to make sure that, you know, and people always say, well, What do you want to be next? Or what's your plans politically? And I was like, I don't have any. You know, I was like, right now, I'd like say I didn't want to become a state representative, but I knew that there were some things in my community that if I wanted to get done, I can only do it as a state representative. I couldn't do it as Vincent Dixie, right? So once I became a state representative, and I was like, you know what? All right, I'm moving a few things down. But then I got to peek behind the Democratic curtain, and I saw that it was some chaos back there. And it's like, you know, we were all on the interstate going 100 miles an hour, but nobody's driving a car, right? So then I was like, you know what? What can I do to help bring this party together? You know, it's like it was an opportunity to run for chairman where I would have more of an impact statewide. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna put my hat in for that. I didn't want to do it, but I just thought that I could be the best person to lead this cause, you know, and I'm going into my second year of doing that. But we have a plan, and hopefully I can build an infrastructure that'll last years, you know, and it's a program that we can build that'll last years. So whoever's after me, they can take it and run with it, you know, but I don't have any aspirations to be the next governor, the next mayor, the next U.S. Senator. I don't do that. Now, if something happens and the path opens and God says, this is what I want you to do, then maybe we'll look at it at that time. But it does not impact any decision that I make today, because I know that at the end of the day, I just got a job to do right now. And right now, I feel like we're in crisis mode in Tennessee. And not just for Black people, but for poor people and just the average average person in Tennessee. I feel like we're in crisis mode. And I wish that I could show how much I want to plead with you to make that. If you just give me a chance, I will make your life better. You know, your life will be better in Tennessee with the Democrat in control.
Hey, I agree with you, but we'll close it right there. So, folks, this is our monthly talk about Vincent Dixie, my representative, District 54. He does a great job. Check him out on Twitter, Vincent Dixie for Tennessee, on Instagram, Vincent Dixie 54 on Twitter. So, Vincent, thank you for your time. I hope to see you Sunday. The event I'm coming to in Nashville, I'll see you there on Father's Day. Hopefully, if you ain't too busy, I'll catch you out there.
All right, man. All right, thank you.
You're welcome, thank brother. You
all right.